Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right, it's that Riot Show back again to bring you the best in humor, politics, and anything that might be interesting in the world. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
Judo Larry M, how you feeling today?
I am feeling great.
Because it's colder than a witch's tit outside the Brooklyn studios today of the Riot Show.
It is mighty cold out there.
It is like some ungodly something going on. I don't know. We're being punished for something. Maybe we're being punished for electing a fucking communist mayor, but we're being punished right now.
Are you now a believer in global warming?
I'm a believer in Jesus. Because he must be punishing us for this.
I asked about global warming.
No, I don't believe in that shit at all. I don't believe in that shit at all. Although, you know, if you're in Atlanta, I'm sure you do. Did you see what's happening in Atlanta?
Yeah, same thing that happened to some people I know in Charlotte.
2 inches of snow. That's all it was. Inches of snow. Yeah. And there were people stranded on the highway for days. Literally. Yeah. They couldn't figure out how to get these people off the highways. Kids had to spend the nights in school like they never went home. Like, it shudders my imagination.
Well, that's because they're not creative thinkers.
Yeah, I know, right.
The solution to this was Popeyes.
How so?
Well, you have to eat a can of spinach, you racist, you. How dare you?
No, but it's weird to me that 2 inches of snow could paralyze a major metropolis like that.
No, it can happen.
Yeah.
Because I know some people down in Charlotte, 2 inches of snow.
Oh, that's like a blizzard.
They didn't know what to do with themselves.
Right, right.
They couldn't get out of their driveways.
Right.
They all had to work from home.
Right.
Like different things that they do. And
what's even worse is they don't know how to drive in the snow.
Well, they don't salt or do anything.
Right, right. They have no infrastructure for it.
They don't have snow tires or anything, so it's...
Plus, they probably still drive the same speed, and then they try to hit their brakes on a slippery thing. Like, I don't know if you saw that pileup. It was just one car after another stacked up. It looked like some action movie down there. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, you would think for a part of the country that likes NASCAR, they'd be a little more...
There you go. No, but it's funny to me because here in New York, it's like 2 inches... I mean, literally for New Yorkers to really give a shit, it's got to be 7, 8, 9.
More.
Yeah. You know, whereas 2 inches, we laugh at that. You know, and not just New Yorkers. Obviously, if you're in Chicago or Buffalo or Minnesota or, you know...
Well, there are even porn stars that laugh at 6.
There you go. Oh, it's a joke.
Oh, I just fugle-sanged your point.
Oh, my God.
It's not that.
You know what's hilarious? It's like, I told you, I've lost the ability to distinguish between reality and this show. I told you, I'll be walking down the street and all of a sudden I'll just go, oh, God.
It's affecting your...
It is. It's affecting my real life.
But I told you, I've done that for years.
Oh, yeah.
Even when we were back in series, like sometimes I catch myself like speaking in my fake Chinese and my fake Muslim, like Arab voice, fake Farsi that I do.
Oh, speaking of fake Muslim and fake Farsi, guess who we got the Fuggle thing last week on Twitter?
No. She got none on Casey?
Dean Obadala.
Oh,
our buddy over there.
Obadushi.
By the way, if ever any of you out there ever need proof positive that liberal comics and comedians have no sense of humor, just check out that Riot Show on Twitter. Twitter.com/that riot show.
Yep.
Dean Obadala, with one innocent remark from me, has been, as Judo Larry M. likes to say...
Fuck you.
No, he's been fuggle-sanged.
Fuggle-sanged.
He's been fuggle-sanged. Named after our original person that lost his mind on Twitter over us.
Why isn't he in the Riot Hall of Fame?
But yeah, he should be. Now we have to put him up for nomination, considering that now he's added to our lexicon.
Yes.
You know, it's really funny. You said, like, if you're a fan of Married with Children, there was that great line once that where one kid said to the other, he goes, hey, man, don't Bundy that book.
Yeah, in the library. Yeah.
And now that's the thing with us. When Judo, Larry, and M and I sit for 5 minutes before we turn on the microphones here in the studios, Judo, Larry will just turn to me and say, hey, John, did you fungal fang anybody this week? So Dean Obadala, of course, was fungal sanged by me. He tweeted out something to the effect of, you know, where he was shitting on either Republicans or people making fun of Muslims or something like that. And I think I sent out something to the effect of, well, at least they didn't fly any planes into any buildings on 9/11 or something to that effect. And he was so upset over that, that he sent me something in all honesty that said, seriously, how fucking stupid are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how fucking stupid are you? And it was literally the case where he and I, all I could think of was your voice saying, how stupid are you? What's going on here?
You're so stupid. On a scale of 1 to 10. Can you even count the two?
Oh, God.
Look how clever I am. 1 to 10. Nobody's ever used that before.
Allahu Akbar.
Too much couscous.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's my position now. I don't care if we went to school with Dean Abadala. I don't care how many classes you sat in with him, Judo Lariam. The guy's a douchebag as far as I'm concerned. No sense of humor about himself. Zero. Zero sense of
humor.
But
how is that possible? He's the dean of comedy.
I know. I know. With a name like Dean of Comedy, how can anything go wrong if you call yourself the dean of comedy?
What an idiot.
What a douchebag. And what makes it worse is, like, if you follow his tweets, all he ever does is point out, like, alleged instances of anti-Muslim activities in the U.S., how people discriminate against Muslims. A, do we really care, Drew Larian?
No. In fact, that's a big part of our comedy.
But the point is, like, honestly, for someone who goes around saying, hey, I'm part of the Brown Comedians Tour, he wrote a book called The Muslims Are Coming. Obviously, he's exploiting the fact that he's one of the few Muslim stand-up comedians in this country to have even a little bit of notoriety. And I'm not one of those people who believes, like, hey, if I'm Greek, I can make fun of Greeks, and I'm the only one who can make fun of Greeks.
Right.
Or if you're Italian, Judo Larry, saying, hey, I'm the only one who can make fun of Italians. That's bullshit.
No, but you can't say that.
Anybody can say whatever the fuck
but
they want.
But of course, if you're Greek or Italian, you can make fun of them. You don't have to worry that someone's going to cut your head off.
Right.
That's why there are no Muslim comedians.
Yeah.
Because the moment they cut over the line. Hello, Bob.
Yes, yes, yes. So Dean Abadala got fuggle sanged. He lost his mind, sent us a nasty tweet, hasn't contacted us since.
I'm the dean of comedy.
Oh, God.
Don't you know the dean of comedy?
The dean of comedy rules all.
The dean of comedy is the only judge, jury, and executioner of comedy.
Oh, fuck you, you white motherfuckers. You Caucasian Christian pricks. Go fuck yourselves.
Western peaks.
So, yeah, basically, I love when people lose their mind on us for the most innocent of shit. Like, well, I've tweeted some
horrible... Well, then you must really love Twitter.
I do. I really love Twitter. But, yeah, and it was interesting. We almost got another one to lose his mind a little bit. That would be Pete Dominic, a typical sparring partner slash foil for us on Twitter. He objected to a joke I made about a comment he had sent... basically, it sent out a note right before the State of the Union address, and I want to get to that, but he's saying, okay, everyone, don't forget to tune in. The State of the Union starts at 9 p.m. Eastern, and I think I sent out a Twitter to the effect of, and the blaming of George Bush will begin at 9:02 Eastern time. You know, now, honestly, is that a bad joke?
No, it's very clever.
Right? He sends me something back calling me a hack.
You should have said word back saying, you're a dick.
It just constantly escalated, right? But it was funny. We went back four or five times. And as we're going back and forth, Anthony Cumia, who you might know of from the Opie and Anthony show, he's also on Red Eye on the Fox Network a lot.
I see him on Red Eye. He's hilarious.
While Pete Dominic and I were going back and forth, Anthony Cumia tweeted out the same joke I did. Basically, 2 minutes into the speech, he tweeted out, and blaming of Bush begins now. So when I saw that, I tweeted Anthony and said, look out, Anthony. If you make jokes like that, Pete Dominic will call you a hack. Now, of course, Pete Dominic knows where his bread is buttered because Anthony Cumia is a fellow broadcaster at Sirius like Pete Dominic is. And he kept saying, no, he's not a hack. I love him. I think he's hilarious. I think he's funny. You're the one that could stand to learn from him. Why don't you people cut me a break? Ah.
Don't you know that I'm bald?
And unfunny.
I think he's afraid of Cumia because Cumia's got more guns than the western part of this country.
Like, if you go, you're right. Anthony Cumia does have a lot of guns. If you listen to the radio show, He's got like a Desert Eagle, a 50 cal.
he's got all kinds of
shit. And that's just the shit he tells you about.
Yeah, this is the stuff he tells you about. You know he's at home standing in front of a mirror with his gun going, you talking to me? You
jerking off.
Yeah.
Like getting a new gun. Ooh, yeah. Gesticulating.
Yeah. I'm gesticulating on a liberal.
Yeah. So he's probably like Ted Nugent East.
Except he's funny.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Ted's just wild.
Yeah, Ted's just nuts, and he plays guitar. That's about it.
Ted, you see him like in film, and he's got like a bazooka, and you see like a duck swimming away. Like, is that really necessary, Ted? Like,
is that a little bit of overkill there, pal?
Overkill.
But yeah, so anyway, so we kind of dealt with, but I have to admit, Pete Dominic at least brought it down to a reasonable level, and we kind of ended the discussion somewhat civilly, but very interesting stuff. Now, the other thing that's interesting, Judo Lariam, what do you think about the State of the Union, first of all? Did you enjoy it?
Yes. I always enjoy the State of the Union. In fact, this State of the Union has really got me thinking why we do this.
Holy shit.
I know it's tradition, and I know it goes on.
Yeah.
But I actually think the president, because the Constitution calls for him to address the Congress.
Basically,
I'm pretty sure at this point he could just email them.
Yeah, basically.
Because it was just another bunch of low expectation, lame promises.
Right.
And the government's going to do this. The only twist, of course, for this year of any real notoriety, I mean, outside of the obnoxiousness that I think he used that military guy
as a prop
for cheap applause.
Poor bastard.
But outside of that, the only thing which was, you know, which has been going on now is this business of he's going to take executive action. And
those assholes in Congress were applauding the fact that he basically told them to fuck off.
Yeah. The Democrats said.
Yeah.
They showed a picture of the House. You can see the Republicans were just sitting there staring at him. But he was like, well, if I could take action. But of course, look how he phrased it. If I could take actions to provide opportunities to the American people, I'm going to do it.
Oh.
I was like, you know what? Why don't you get an opportunity to bang that skank you're married to?
Yeah. Oh, man. Whoa.
What happened?
Whoa.
You don't want to hit your chest like that military guy?
No, I don't. But honestly, you know what's funny about it? You're absolutely right. Here's a U.S. president that's basically saying to Congress, go fuck yourselves. And at least the Democrats in that esteemed body applauding. And I couldn't help but think to myself, isn't this what happened in the last days of Rome? When, like, the Republic, the Senate in Rome, basically gave up its rights to Caesar and cheered about it. This is what's happening now. This dude is saying, like, I don't give a fuck about the Constitution. I don't give a fuck about the legislative branch. I'm just doing this shit on my own.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourselves. Now, he may have decided to do that anyway, but the point is, why would senators and congressmen be applauding that shit?
Yeah. The Democrats are applauding it because they're happy for the message it sends to Republicans.
Yeah.
Because they feel that the Republicans have been totally obstructionist.
They have been.
Yeah, I know. But the point is, you know, at this point, he's just saying, well, the fuck you. I'm not going to work with you now.
Right.
And if I can just do it on my own, I'll just do it on my own.
And I think the first executive order is going to be around the minimum wage.
Well, he already did that.
Yeah.
He raised it to 10-10. So, and it's not the minimum wage, though. It's only for federal workers.
Right.
It's a handful of people.
Well, considering the federal government employs something like 20% of the workforce at this stage, you know, it's significant. But, you know, that's the other thing. It's like, I don't understand why people buy hook, line, and sinker. All the bullshit that he spews. First of all, we all know that the minimum wage does nothing to help the poor.
Absolutely nothing.
We all know the minimum wage tends to increase unemployment among the people that need it the most.
Right, because they're just going to hire fewer people.
Fewer people and take, you know, and I got into this with someone and they kept saying, well, you have to pay someone a fair wage. And I go, well, what's fair? What's fair?
But they say that every time.
Yeah, and it hasn't helped. Stop and think to yourself, if the minimum wage really worked, why do we still need it?
Right.
Why do we need to raise it every so often? My point being
it's
is...
It's 10 now. It's gonna, he's going to try and get it to like 14 in a couple of years.
Yeah. I would much rather the government be honest with me and say, we want to help poor people. And if that's the case, forget fucking with business. Just send them a check. Send the poor a check.
Absolutely.
It'll be more efficient. It'll do more good for them. And you wouldn't have the added bonus of fucking up business, small businesses, by making them go bankrupt, engage in charity, and have to be regulated by the government.
And of course, you realize that the moment you raise the minimum wage,
yeah,
a lot of businesses are going to start now looking outside the company. I mean, which already goes on.
Yeah.
But this is going to be even more so.
Right.
Because if you can find some guy to do something for like a dollar in Mexico or whatever, you're not going to pay some jerk off $10.10
right.
to do it here.
Right. Or, you know, more than likely, I keep explaining it to people this way. If there's a person whose skills demand that he be paid $5 an hour, because that's the productivity he has, if you pass a law that says you got to pay him $10 an hour, what's going to happen, Judah Larry M? One of three things. The low-skilled worker's going to get fired.
Fired, right.
B, there's not going to be any job creation because the business owner will just say, okay, the guy, that if I have to pay someone $10 an hour, I'm just going to hire somebody who's a little more skilled that can do a little bit more to justify the $10 an hour. The third option is that the business owner says, what the fuck, I'm going to engage in charity.
Okay.
Right? But how many business owners can do that?
Very, very few.
Right.
If you're a small business.
Basically none of them is what it comes down to.
Right.
Right? So now you're either forced to shut down, lose those jobs, or run your business illegally, quote unquote, off the books. And that's the one thing Democrats cannot fathom. Like, I've had debates with them on Twitter, on Facebook all week, and they all say like this, but how can you be so cold-hearted? How can you possibly have someone? You can't live on $10 an hour. Yeah, I know you can't live on $10 an hour. I know you're not going to have a boat and a mansion and a car and a summer house on $10 an hour. The point is that you're not... But it's even harder to live on $0 an hour when you lose your job because someone can't afford to pay you the $10.
But the problem with it also is that look at their expectation. But you know, but you're not going to have like a house and a mansion and
right.
They go, well, look, not everybody gets that.
Exactly.
You know, this is also part of Obama's idiotic narrative about wage disparities.
Inequality.
And inequality.
Yeah, of course. That's the next one.
You know, the Republicans are always taking a beating because the trickle-down theory.
Right.
You know, and, you know, the assuming that, you know, the rising tide raises all boats. The Democrats, the left, they say that doesn't work. The problem is you have a guy in the White House who looks at everything from the bottom up.
Right.
And if you look at an economic system from the bottom up, you're going to see inequality. You're going to see disparities. You're going to see gaps.
Right.
You're going to see just negative things.
Yeah.
Like, why is he surprised that a janitor doesn't make the same as a doctor?
Right.
Or why is he surprised that some doctors make more than other doctors? So some are better. Some have more skills.
Exactly.
Some are brain surgeons. Some just work on your feet. I mean,
you know,
I mean, whatever it is, there's a reason.
Absolutely.
And if you're more talented and you're more gifted, you make more.
Yeah. Especially if the market values you that way.
Exactly.
Like, I have no problem if tomorrow the society values, to use your example, the janitor more than the doctor.
Fine.
Then that means janitors will get paid more than doctors.
Fine.
The reason they don't is because society tends to value doctors more than janitors. What do you think? There's some like little basement somewhere in Washington where some evil Republican with a big mustache twirling it puts down in the ledger white doctors earn more than black janitors? Do you think there's some sort of central command that makes these decisions? Or is it society in general that comes to these conclusions?
Now, look, I understand that like some of the things that we value are not necessarily the best thing.
Like?
Like, for instance, you got the Super Bowl coming up.
Yeah.
Look how much sports athletes make.
Right.
But, like, look how little teachers make.
Right.
Now, teachers are actually more valuable in the long run than, LOB.
I know. But listen, I understand what you're saying, but I'll take the opposite point of view now.
But that's sad.
If we didn't value sports athletes that highly, by definition, they wouldn't get paid that much. That's just the way it is.
No, I understand that. But I'm just giving it as an example.
You're absolutely right.
It would be better if we valued our teachers more.
You would think.
You know, like, for instance, I was watching, not to go off on a tangent, but I...
But you
I was,
will.
I was watching... a thing, why not?
Yeah.
I was watching a thing that, you know, for the past couple of years, Finland is now the number one rated country for education.
Oh, that's hot.
And one of the reasons is because they're blonde and they're hot, and they value their teachers.
Nice.
What are you doing? Oh my God.
I'm rubbing my cock.
Oh, you're the Dean of Comedy. What a fag.
Oh, continue.
But the point is,
yeah.
Too bad the teachers aren't valued as much like over there.
Right.
Over there, they're really, they're treated like royalty. I'm not kidding.
Right, right.
And they're paid considerably. Of course, you also have to be an MBA to teach over there.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
No, I understand what you mean, but the solution to that is not to all of a sudden throw money at people who are not producing enough economically
I was just making a point about some of the things that we value.
Yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely. Look, if Richard Sherman can make whatever.
Yeah.
And,
I'm all for it.
And teachers can only make whatever. That's the way it goes.
I'm all for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody put a gun to your head to become a teacher or an athlete or a janitor or whatever. And yes, you have to understand something. There was a study done by several economists that said, even though you have a gap, obviously, in income in this country between various quintiles, the mobility between those quintiles has stayed basically the same for the last 60 years.
Right.
Meaning that it's just as easy for someone today to go from the bottom fifth to the middle fifth to the top fifth as it was 50, 60 years ago. There's this misconception and this lie being put forth by liberals that it's harder for people to move up the ladder.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not.
He said it during the State of the Union.
Yeah.
He said upward mobility has come to a halt.
Bullshit.
Which is ridiculous. It was all part of his lead in to kiss women's asses and tell them how much they need government help.
Right.
Which was just ridiculous.
Which, of course, is ridiculous because even if you listen to the lie that was typically spouted, which is women only earn 77% of what men were for equal jobs.
Right.
Bullshit, ladies and gentlemen. And here's the reason why.
There's a lot of reasons for why they don't.
If you look at the data, it's true that if you looked at all women, lumped them together, all men, lumped them together, men on average earn, you know, for every dollar men earn, women only earn 77 cents.
That's right.
That's true. But you know what they're not telling you? That they're not adjusting it for things like time spent in the workforce, continuous time spent in the workforce, decisions made like... Women, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but women tend to go home to take care of kids. Women tend to take time off in their careers to have kids, or they start their careers later in life.
Right, but they also are 11 times more likely to switch jobs.
Yes.
And those kind of inconsistency, those kind of like bouncing around and everything, that actually doesn't
help you. That holds down your earning potential.
Right.
Now, we could have a discussion as to whether or not there's some other reasons why that's happening. But just to look at the data to de facto say there must be gender bias in banks or there's gender bias in society, it's a rape culture.
It's inconclusive at best.
Yeah, no, it's not inconclusive. It's exactly the opposite. No. It's very conclusive. When you, for example...
But you mean that it's not true.
It's not true and it's very provable.
Yeah, no,
for example, if you look at women who either never got married or chose not to have children...
Yeah.
Right. Whatever case you would. And you put them next to men in the same industry.
They're making
with the same experience. They're actually earning more than the men.
Yeah.
Slightly more than the men.
Yeah, it's the same.
Okay. So my point being is that when you adjust for things like education, do they have the same education?
Well,
do they have the same number of years in the workforce? Do they take the same time off? Then when you look at that, men and women are actually either equal or women slightly higher in most cases.
Right.
Right, but Obama won't tell you that because if he tells you that, then you won't get that stupid VAWA passed. You won't get equal pay for equal work. He can't whine about inequality. Him and the rest of the communists, like New York's Bill de Blasio, now they can't all get together and start bitching about not being able to tax the wealthy.
But it's also a situation because women usually have children.
Yes.
They make now, what, 3/4 of the people in poverty, unfortunately, are women and children. But even like after divorce, usually women get the children. A lot of women have to take lower paying jobs that
fit their schedule.
Schedule that demand, you know, they don't demand as much.
Right.
So they can be there for their kids. So once again, even though that somewhat unfair, and it's unfair to men who want the children sometimes after the divorce, but they normally don't get it.
Right.
9 out of 10 times at least. The problem is that you have women who take jobs that so they can have their family life,
and
their responsibility to the kids. Those aren't going to be super high-paying jobs.
Yeah.
And if the guy, if you're like, let's say you get divorced, you know, you're alone at this point. You're divorced. So she's got the kids. She's over there.
Plus, he never left the workforce to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, there's like, it's really like a compound interest. You know what I mean? Like, the more you have money in the bank earning interest, the more you're going to get rather than someone who takes it in, takes it out, takes it in, takes it out. And that's what fucking liberals. I don't think it's that they're too stupid to understand this. I think they're being deliberately disingenuous to say, oh, there's inequality. there really isn't inequality between the genders in this country. There really isn't. The income gaps exist, but to quote Margaret Thatcher, liberals would rather see the gap be smaller and everyone be poorer than to say, well, the poor are better off, and it just so happens that the rich are even more better off.
Right.
Right? So liberals aren't going to be happy till everybody's miserable.
Right.
Till everybody's poor.
Mutually assured poverty.
Exactly.
Right.
So fuck you, liberals. Cocksuckers.
Pete Dominic.
What?
I know you're listening.
But my point is, yeah. Why? I mean, that State of the Union address sucked a dick.
Yeah, it was weak.
It had the lowest rating since 2000.
Yeah.
Obama basically, it was all, like you said, it was all this posturing like inequality, gender bias, opportunity for all. Did you also notice that he tried to sneak in the like 9 million Americans are signing up for the Affordable Care Act or Medicaid?
Or Medicaid.
I wonder how much the or Medicaid portion of it accounts for the 9 million.
3 million young people.
Which, by the way, the 9... Yeah.
Policies
which,
till they're
which, by the way, the 9 million isn't that impressive a number.
No, it's not, but that's not the right number.
It's first of all, it's inflated.
That's bullshit. First of all, it's like the other numbers he gave.
Right.
He created. He said that since he came into office, they've created 8 million jobs. Even the Washington Post, commie scumbuckets themselves,
right.
pointed out it's actually more like 3.2.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, he's full of shit, is what it comes down to. I mean, even if you use the old line, all politicians are full of shit. Obama and his people are just, you know what it is? Their agenda is crumbling around them. Nothing has worked for them.
Right. The stimulus is bullshit.
Right. So even though they basically passed Obamacare, it's not working, folks. It's not working. Not only has the website not been fixed yet, it's like the whole plan is already keeling over.
Yeah.
You hear these horrible stories about people losing their policies and
5 million people
and they can't replace them. And they can't replace them.
And he's only talking about people. And there's the other thing. He also keeps talking about people who signed up.
Yes.
But signing up on the website doesn't mean you've actually paid for an insurance.
Bought a premium.
It just means you signed on.
Yeah. You haven't bought a policy yet. Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody can log on to something and tool around for a little while.
Right.
And then when they realize the website sucks, come out of it and go out. So much for that.
And you hear these horror stories about people who have lost their care and, you know, and the ridiculousness. Like, who is the government to say whether a policy is sufficient or not? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, hey, government, it's just as racist, it's just as bigoted for you to assume that I'm an idiot as it is for you to discriminate against black or white. You know what I mean? Why is the assumption that I need Obama's help to understand what's right for me in terms of a policy?
Oh, yeah.
That is the most bigoted position you can take.
Well, I wouldn't call it that, but it's just condescending. It's just assuming you don't know any better.
Right.
So listen, there's the intelligentsia to tell you,
right.
Here's your policy, just go online, stupid, and do this.
Right, and we'll take care of it for you.
And if your policy gets canceled, well, it was probably a shitty one.
Right.
So you're probably better off with one of ours. And that's clearly what they're angry for.
Exactly. So when people complain that, oh shit, I'm paying an extra $2,000-$3,000 a year for a policy that I don't like.
Well, that's another thing.
They'll just tell you, well, this one is better than the one you had.
They showed one guy who normally his policy cost him something like $3,000.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell it was.
Right.
Now it's $9,000.
Right.
Or so, like they had that. And he tried to get around it. But if you notice during the State of the Union, he acknowledged the Democratic governor of Kentucky.
Right.
This guy, Beshear.
Okay.
And, you know, Obama in his usual way goes, now, Kentucky's not one of the most liberal parts of the country.
Yeah.
It's not where I got my biggest vote totals.
Yeah.
He goes, but Governor Beshear, he is a man on a mission to get everyone in Kentucky signed up.
Right.
He goes, because they're our friends. They're bakers. They're our neighbors. They're the people we go to church with.
Fuck you.
You know, just once, I would like that orange-looking bastard Boehner just to sip a little
What was that?
I said, what?
What? Oh, God, I'm glad we have a beeper on this one.
I didn't say anything bad.
Oh, Jesus.
I said, fuck you,
No. Judah Lariam, this is not the way for us to get that deal that I said we're trying to get.
Just once, I wish that orange guy Boehner would say, that's not true.
Much better. Because you know,
but you're not supposed to say that. I'm giving you a replacement line, and you're supposed to keep going with it so you can just remove all that bullshit. See, now you have to go all the way back and cut both. Let's do it again.
No.
Just wish.
No.
Just wish. Just no. Once I wish
this
that
is like dynamite.
Bader,
every time you talk, it's just like.
Just once I wish that Bader would say, that's not true.
Listening to you is like when you put your tongue on a cold sore. I know it's going to hurt, but I have to do it anyway. So I'm just going to wait and listen to you, and I'll just ask Phil to clean it up in post.
If you were signed up for the Affordable Health Care Act, you wouldn't talk to me.
That's like true, that. Like that. You know, we've got people listening to us, right?
Boop, boop.
You know, we have people listening to us, right? Not those people. Yeah.
I just fuggle signed you in your own stupid Farsi. What do you think? My faux Farsi.
Is he a big guy? I don't remember. Is he a physical? Is he a little guy?
No, he's actually, he's actually right between us.
Oh, really?
He would be like up to your eyebrows. I mean,
up to my eyebrows.
No, but I mean, you're like what, 6'2"?
I'm 6'3".
All right, so he's about 5'11".
Oh, okay.
Something in that 5'10", that neighborhood.
I could kick him in the nuts then. No problem.
No, I could kick him in the nuts. I'm 5'7". I'm like a midget. I get.
But you've got that judo, those judo skills. I'm not worried about you.
Yes, I do have my security skills.
Yes. Yeah, you also have your gun, too.
I have a gun, which we won't talk about, and of course, and the fact that I'm judo, Larry.
Yeah, that's right.
To strike fear into my opponents.
Yeah.
I'm judo, Larry.
Yeah. I'm Big Fat John. You know what I do?
I kick you in the nuts.
I kick you in the nuts. Do it again, Beavis. You know what's hilarious? Judo Larry M and I know each other for so many years, like 30 years. We actually have like little attack plans in case we were ever accosted on the street or anything. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, you know, Judo Larry and M are like, okay, you remember, you always go low. I always go high.
And then fall on the ground and yell for the police.
Just point and yell like, he was mean to me. He bullied me, for God's sake.
You, I told you the time that guy like tried to attack me and I poked him in the eye and I threw my wallet in the ground and went, oh my God, I get my money. You have to be prepared.
Oh, yeah.
It's dangerous out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You know. I've been stabbed. I've been slashed. It's like it's happened to me. I know.
Yeah, I told you to get off Twitter.
Yeah, I'm going to get shivved by the dean of comedy.
The dean of comedy is going to show up outside.
Fuck you, you white Christian motherfucker. That's what you get. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
How come that's not horrible? Mine gets beeped.
Yes. Well, you know, there are certain things that get beeped. I'm sorry. It just is what it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is the theater comedy a sand?
Oh, shit. You did it again.
Another one.
You did it again. You're fucking me over. You're fucking poor Phil over. Look at Phil. He's pulling out the three hairs that he's got left on his head.
Phil, don't laugh that hard. It takes away from John's argument.
Phil. Phil, did you get that in the log? You got the times where you got to go back and beep out Judo Larry M's like racist nonsense.
Yes. Do leave in the Allah Akbar. We're lucky we're not on the air, so yes. We can see the stabbing motion that you were.
Stabbing motion, the cock sucking motion, whatever. It's all the same.
Are you performing an abortion over there?
Oh, my God. Oh, you're so mean.
I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, God.
You probably said horrible things about poor Justin Bieber.
Oh, Justin Bieber. Jurularium, I have a... Now, let's get serious for a moment. You brought up Justin Bieber, the Canadian pop sensation.
Yes.
Let me ask you something.
Much like Piers Morgan, now there's a petition to deport him. Everybody's getting deported. Yeah,
Hey, Obama, that's what you get for putting on online petitions, stupid. Now you have to answer every one of these fucking things.
The affordable petition.
Oh, my God. But Justin Bieber, let me ask you a serious question here. In this age when you have renegade cops, when you have people getting arrested falsely, why is it that Justin Bieber can drag race up and down the street in Florida with Xanax and pot?
It must be the money.
And there wasn't one tasering, one beating, one sodomy with a broomstick. Nothing.
I know.
He got off easy.
There's not even a story of a cop like smacking that hat off his head.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like absolutely nothing going on with this little guy.
Well, that's because, look, unfortunately, this really is the obnoxious aspect of being famous.
Well, it's also the fact that he's just not a likable guy. And I don't even, I couldn't tell you.
But what that doesn't make any sense, because if he's not likable, then you'd think somebody would have popped him by now.
That's what I'm saying. He's not a likable guy, but at the same time, he seems to skate on a lot of this stuff.
But that's what I'm saying. It's because he's famous.
I don't know. Well, I mean, he's such a... I have no explanation.
But John, think about it. If he's an annoying person, then you would think somebody would have clocked him by now. It's because of who he is.
Okay, fair enough.
That's all there is to it. I mean, look, even the judge, they were saying, well, he could get like 90 days or whatever. They're not going to do anything to him. Are you kidding? They don't want like screaming little girls showing up outside. They're doing like, you let Bieber go. Like,
oh my God, you heard him. His vagina's all sore now.
Oh, now my Bieber hurts.
He's also like, I'm surprised some black guys haven't taken a shot of him. He is trying so hard to be black.
No, please. He hangs out with that one guy who he egged the house allegedly with. Allegedly. He's egging houses.
Someone needs to beat the living shit out of him, is what it comes down to.
And the worst part is,
I don't mean the cops even. I mean just like a neighbor,
but his father,
another teenager.
The day after he was released from the Florida court, right. His father took him out for, like, drinks.
Oh, really?
He was, like, hanging out. Yeah, they had a picture of him.
No wonder that fucking kid's turned out the way he has.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
He should have just stayed up there and played hockey.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Speaking of playing hockey.
Oh, what happened?
I wanted to let you know, I was at Yankee Stadium Sunday.
Oh, you went and did one of those outdoor hockey games?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah?
Oh, my God, the atmosphere. I'm not kidding. It was just fantastic.
You know what the atmosphere looked like to me?
Cold?
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like 12 degrees to me.
Yeah, it was all right. I was super bundled.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I went with my brother. We had a great time.
Oh, good. It was fantastic. Good. Good.
And, of course, when your team wins 7-3, it just becomes even...
Nice. That warms up the old cockles.
Yes, it does.
Nice.
And but we had a great time. I mean, look, I've been to Yankee Stadium before, but you know, for this was unique.
Right. I can imagine.
They played last night, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They beat the Islanders. So they and the funny thing is, and what annoys me is, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you might have heard about the head coach, John Tortorella. He used to be the head coach of the Rangers. Now he's the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. And he, like, practically attacked the Calgary guy.
I didn't hear a thing. I'm not a big hockey fan, so I didn't hear
about it. But it was on a lot of the sports channels.
Yeah.
And Peter Gammons, the baseball douche over at ESPN, he tried to make fun of it, and he goes, well, this is why hockey's a minor sport.
Why? Because coaches attack each other?
Yeah, because the coach went nuts.
Holy shit,
hallway.
If I thought there was a chance that a coach may constantly attack the other coach, I'd be watching hockey all the time.
Yeah, so, but here's the funny thing for me, and I want to yell this out to Peter Gammons, just in case he didn't know. When they had the Winter Classic on at the beginning of the month on New Year's Day, and these are just regular season games. They're not playoff games. The Detroit Red Wings and the Toronto Maple Leafs played each other in Ann Arbor at the Big House in Michigan, that college.
Okay.
105,491 people.
How many were Americans, though?
Okay, three. But, and, you know, it was a huge crowd. It snowed. 105,491.
Wow.
The Yankee game Sunday, the Yankee Stadium game between the Rangers Devils, 50,100 something, and the game against the Islanders last night, 50,000 again, and the Ducks played the Kings at Dodger Stadium.
Quack, quack.
And they had over 50,000.
Nice.
So I don't think minor sports attract that kind of people.
I think especially in terms of television, it's considered a minor sport.
Well, they had like five share.
Probably in revenue, it's a minor sport. Okay. It's probably like the worst of the majors.
But that's not what he's talking about.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
I would like to say that Peter Gammons is a douche. And I hope he falls down in a ditch and gets a rash.
Really?
On his ass.
Nice.
Because he smells. And he's from Boston.
Allegedly.
No, not allegedly.
He allegedly smells.
He allegedly smells of flatulence and beer.
Allegedly.
Oh, okay.
Keep talking. I'll cover you.
You'll just cover me legally.
Yes.
Well, I'm on behalf of hockey fans, Peter. Yes. Hammond, you're minor.
Gotcha. That's okay.
You stink.
Allegedly.
So does your writing.
That's okay.
Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar.
So.
Oh, man. Okay, so you had a good time at the outdoor hockey game.
It was fantastic.
Nice.
It was great atmosphere. And there were one or two fights.
Oh, really?
In the stands.
Oh, in the stands.
No,
okay.
Not the game. In the stands.
Okay.
There was this one thing. You saw this guy got up.
Yeah.
And he goes, shut the fuck. Like, screaming. And the other guy just got up, and he's like right in his face.
Right.
And the security started like making their way down, but not before they got a few shots out of him.
Gotta love those New York fans.
Oh my God. Yeah. So we have one guy in a Ranger jersey, another guy in a Devil jersey.
Of course.
All of a sudden swinging. But it was really great, and the stadium was packed.
Yeah.
And but they weren't prepared with enough hot chocolate or coffee because they ran out early, so everybody had to drink beer.
All right. Hey, while we're still on sports, the big game is this weekend.
Another one at Yankee Stadium?
Almost.
Sorry, I'm a hockey fan.
It's the big game. It's the big game.
The Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, trademark NFL.
Hashtag somewhat bigger than hockey.
Because you can't say Super Bowl without giving the proper credit legally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, seriously. If you notice, a lot of things don't even refer to Super Bowl parties or anything like that. They have to say big game parties.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fucked up. But anyway.
Big cock party.
There you go. Oh, those are the best.
Nice.
Oh, tell me about those.
Oh, I was watching the Sex Awards the other day.
Oh, so was I on Showtime, right?
Yes.
They were great.
And Ron Jeremy came out, and he is the shortest, ugliest.
Yes.
He looks like a hedgehog.
That's his nickname.
Yeah, and but he really does. He's disgusting.
Yes.
But he made like 2,500 movies, and they gave him an award.
Like the Golden Cock or something?
Yeah, it was like a big dildo that like shoots like ready whip on you. But it was just...
The sincerity with which those people take those awards.
Oh, please.
The seriousness with which... It's moving. It's inspirational.
It moves me to want to jack off.
Like, it's hilarious because you see them like, and now it's time to present the award for Best... Double penetration scene with a strap on.
Yeah.
The nominees are. And then these women come out like, oh my God, what an experience. I would love to work with the same dildo again. It was inspiring. They talk.
Oh, please.
Like it was like legitimate. Yeah. Like I would have so much more respect for them for saying I have the biggest tits, I have the nicest ass, and that's why I won this award.
Just so everyone knows, this is not the AVN Awards.
No, this is
a new one.
There's a new one.
The sex award.
Because the AVN was not enough.
Because there's just not enough porn out there.
I love porn.
The best part is they do these interviews.
Yes.
And they're like, I'm not kidding. The women come out and like some guy comes out and they're like, did we fuck?
Yeah.
They don't even know who they fucked.
No.
Like it, and the crazy, and you know how you know it's true.
How's that?
Because when the Dave's...
Hold on. Okay, my cock's out. Go ahead.
I'll put it back.
No.
Oh, how come I get bleeped for everything?
No.
That's disgusting.
Oh, deal with it.
Wait. Put it on the table. So this one guy comes out, and he's just like...
Yeah, stare at it.
Oh. Look at that little one-eyed bastard.
Oh.
But...
Bubbly.
Really losing it here.
Nice.
But when Dave's old porn, he has those women on there from...
Dave Attell's old porn. Yeah.
No, but it's just called Dave's
old porn. But it's Dave Attell. Is what you're talking about.
They have no idea. He asks them, like, where did they film this? Like, sometimes they go, like, this was like a house in Vancouver.
Well, half the time they don't even remember the movie.
But that's what I mean. And then sometimes they'll say, like, well, I think we filmed this in Van Nuys. And then sometimes they'll go, I have no idea.
Yeah,
and
I don't remember doing this.
Who's this person, like, fucking you in the ass? No idea. And, of course, the camera, you know, especially back then, the cock is just a prop. So you don't even see the guy. You just see the motion, like, fuck. And even these young whores that they brought out. They brought out some Asian chick who actually I don't think is very good looking.
Yeah.
But they brought out...
Oh, Asa Akira.
Yes, I don't like her at all.
Oh, she's the anal queen.
Yeah. But she got...
Not that I've ever known or seen her before.
Now that we know that you have her entire collection.
Oh!
So she comes out and they give her an award for Porn Actress of the Year.
Nice.
And all
she deserves it.
Yes, she does. And she got it.
Mow!
She has a yen for cock.
Oh, nice. Nice. I like that.
So, and then they interviewed like a few other ones.
Right.
But it's the same stupid interview.
Yes.
Well, when he comes at my face.
I see stars.
Yeah, like sometimes I don't see anything because it covers my
eyes. Sometimes my face looks like a glazed donut when he's done and it's just wonderful.
Sometimes somebody comes in with one of those car wash or
squeegee.
Oh my God! But they're so stupid. They talk about like they're doing a real job. Like
yes,
like don't you realize anybody can do this?
That's not why, anybody.
But, yes, they can. That's why it's not special. You know, not everybody can say like I ate his liver with some fava beans and nice Chianti.
But how many people can say I ate his ass?
Anybody can do that. Anybody can say it and anyone can do it.
Best, the nominees for best ass-eating scene in a lesbian movie are.
Yeah, but they act, that's exactly
yes, what that's do. What it is. That's the best part of it. It's almost like you have to, it's a fun game to try to guess what the next category is. Because believe it or not, there's no best actress in a porn. In other words, they're not closely mirroring the Oscars.
No. Everything is like best doggy style in a dumbwaiter. You know?
Best doggy style in a dumbwaiter.
That's a good one. It is.
Yeah.
Best gangbang on a roof. Like,
nice, you know,
like
nice.
Wherever they can find, like, they're like the Pussy Riot in a sense. Anywhere they can just pop up and do something quickly. Like, I don't even know if the porn people bother to get, like, licenses and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just fuck here.
Yeah. Let's get a hotel room.
Yeah.
You fuck her in the ass. Can you imagine being a director of a porn? That must be the best job in the world. All right, listen.
What job?
All right, listen.
Are you going to fuck? Good.
Can we get some wood? Can we get some wood on the set, please? Stunt cock!
Where's the fluffer? Where's the fluffer?
Fluff, 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 fluff.
And how much porn do you watch, Jason?
Nonstop.
Unbelievable.
I am addicted to porn.
Are you?
I'm not ashamed to say, yeah.
Are you?
I have to watch porn at least an hour a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the only thing that helps me unwind. And half the time, I'm not even jerking off. I just like watching porn. It's getting to the point where I'm a critic of porn at this point. I'm like, oh, man.
Two thumbs down on that ass fuck.
Two cocks down.
Two limp erections.
Two limp dicks.
Two limp dicks.
Yeah, and I have to say, I don't even know what boundaries there are left for me to explore. I think I've seen it all in these movies.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost sad to the extent that, like nothing shocks me anymore. Yeah. Unless it's a fucking snuff film, there's absolutely nothing that will shock me at this point.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, chicks do the most unspeakable, horrible things. Men degrade them. I've seen, like, animals. I've seen the toys. Yeah. There's absolutely nothing that I haven't seen. And the sad part is, nothing shocks me anymore. It's like a part of my innocence is gone, Judo Laria.
Oh, yes.
It went out the window with that last scene where I saw a Japanese chick shove some live eels up her ass.
I thought it was that Super Bowl you watched that one time where during the show you watched the one where the guy put the dustbuster up her
ass. Well, look, if you can fuck a girl, that's good. But if you can fuck a girl while her ass is sweeping up at the same time,
yes.
That's even better.
If you can fuck and still get maid service at the same time, that's pretty good.
Oh.
You know what I'd like to see in a porn movie?
Me?
I'd like to see like a really one of those glass dildos.
Yes.
And the Dean of comedy.
Nice.
That would be great.
Nice.
See if he has a sense of humor about that.
Nice.
Alakba.
I like the way you also phrased it. I didn't have to use allegedly or beep you out. That was well done.
Very well done.
Theater of the mind.
Because everyone knows that I am a performance artist.
There you go.
And I don't care if I have to be beeped. Nothing will prevent me.
You're an artist like Madonna.
Of my First Amendment
right. There you go. Fucking A, man. Fucking A. Oh, man. But we got totally off topic, even though it was a nice topic.
All right, so this
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Who do you got? Who do you got?
I'm saying Seattle.
Okay, because last time we had did the show, you said you were going to go back. You were going to put in your super secret methodology that has allowed you to win 16 Super Bowls bets in a row.
Something like that.
And you're saying you're taking Seattle.
I'm taking Seattle.
What's the line?
2.5, I believe, right now.
Getting or giving?
I'm getting.
You're getting 2.5. So you took the 2.5 point underdog?
Yeah, I'm a pitcher.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's 2.5. I'm taking the underdog. Nothing against the Broncos. Well, I don't like the Broncos, but I do like Peyton Manning, but it has nothing to do with that. I'm looking at this game, and I'm looking at the number one defense.
Nice, against the number one offense.
Yeah, but defense always trumps
there you go.
Offense, and I think Marshawn Lynch is going to have a big day.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he'll be the MVP.
Nice.
I really think that, you know, the defense will do what they do, but they can't give it to the whole defense.
Right.
You know, like back in 2007 when the Giants beat the Patriots, I mean, the Giant defense played fantastic.
Right.
But they gave it to Eli.
Right.
So,
although a lot of people thought Justin Tuck should have had it that game.
Yes, but he's not going to get it.
Right. Right.
And neither is LOB or anybody else.
Like, right.
So,
Legion of Boom.
I think the Broncos will have their moments.
Right.
But I think they're going to be doing a lot of punting.
Right.
And I think Manning might get hit a bunch of times.
Nice.
And Russell Wilson, I'm not calling him a game manager, but he knows what to do. He's right. the quarterback, you know. And right. I just think that when this is said and done, I think actually Seattle now, wins by 2 or 3 points.
Right. Now, let's also state, we're not saying you're doing anything illegal. You're not gambling. You're not putting money on this.
I don't do that.
Right.
Hey.
Gotcha. But what we're saying is, for entertainment purposes only, you're taking the Seahawks plus 2.5.
That is right.
And you know what? Now, you know, as we've discussed.
We're spitballing.
Right, there you go. As we discussed in other things, I had Broncos, Seahawks in the Super Bowl very early in the season, like week 4. And I also will now give my Super Bowl winner. And it will be.
Drum roll.
Seattle. I agree with you. I think Seattle's going to win. I think good defense beats good offense. I think the fact that Seattle does not have to play a mobile quarterback against a mobile quarterback helps their defense even more.
Right.
Because now they don't have to keep one guy in the box to spy like they had to with Kaepernick or somebody like that. They can just send that guy right after Peyton Manning. Now, Peyton Manning's probably one of the top 5 quarterbacks of all time. But one of the things he doesn't do well is he doesn't get out of the pocket well. And if the Seahawks can put some pressure with the defensive line and they can then send somebody on a blitz on occasion, Peyton Manning may not be able to play his game. And let's not forget, they're playing here in New York / New Jersey, where it'll be somewhat cold, maybe 30, 40 degrees. The Meadowlands is windy.
Yeah, I know.
So if the wind's kicking up, Peyton can't feel the ball too well. I actually think it may even be the case where it's a Seahawks blowout.
It could be.
Yeah.
I could also go that way very easily. I also see Wes Welker getting hammered. I had this weird feeling he's just going to get pulverized at some point.
Yeah.
Nothing against him. I just think like I think he's going to be crossing the middle.
Oh, someone's going to knock him out.
These guys like Chancellor is just going to
plow. Yeah, Chancellor or Earl Thomas, one of those guys is just going to knock him out. So I think both of us are in agreement here. We're taking the Seahawks plus 2.5. That is the official White Riot Show unified projection.
Not White Riot.
Oh, sorry. What's a White Riot? What's a White Riot?
Hey, you.
I don't even know what that is. It's a Clash song.
It's a song by the Clash.
It's a song by the Clash. But this Riot Show.
That Riot Show.
That Riot Show is officially the unified prediction is going to be the Seahawks. Oh, Judah Lariam, before I forget, there was also something to wrap this up soon. The last topic. MSNBC, our favorite communist propaganda machine.
Yes.
Did you see that they are once again apologizing?
Oh, geez, yes.
For a tweet? No. So, do you know about this?
Yeah, they had a picture. There's a commercial of a Cheerios.
Right.
With an interracial couple.
Very good.
Black father, white mother. She's pregnant. You can see it from the side. And they have a little kid who's interracial. Yeah, she's black, but she's not too black. And they're playing around with Cheerios.
Right.
And the father says, "You're going to have a little brother,"
right?
Or something like that. And she moves another Cheerio forward. She goes, "And a dog."
Nice. And it's cute.
It is. Cute. It is. It is adorable.
But what did those horrible bastards at MSNBC have to say about this?
Somebody tweeted, probably the right wing will hate this, but everybody else will go, "Aw."
Right.
And the person who did that got fired.
Well, we don't know.
They said before.
But they never named who the person was. So for all you know, they could have fired a janitor. They just said someone's been fired. What?
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 A chew.
Oh.
Sneezing.
Oh. But anyway, so so MSNBC, once again, showing itself to be the bastion of intolerance that it is.
Yeah.
And to me, it is, again, one of those classic liberal double standards, right? So, if Chris Christie's an asshole and a bully, he becomes responsible for creating, what's the term we use, Judah Lariam? A culture of hate, according to MSNBC. An environment of hate. So, he's responsible if some flunky shuts down a lane on the GW Bridge.
Right.
However, it doesn't seem to apply to Obama, with Benghazi, the IRS, and all that. It doesn't apply to themselves. Because after all, Judah Lariam, when they make a mistake like that, it's an honest mistake. Because they know that they're good people.
That's right.
Because liberals always have good intentions at heart.
Right. We know that, right? Yeah, they're nice people.
Only Republicans are true assholes. And when mistakes like that happen to them, it's showing their true colors. But not MSNBC. MSNBC apologizes once again, but their president said, we fired the person responsible, but that's not what we're about. Well, guess what, motherfucker? You've apologized like, what, 3, 4, 5 times this year already for shit that Martin Bashir had to say, that Alec Baldwin had to say?
Suffering Thuckadash.
Right.
that chick.
That when, yeah, Melissa Harris Perry, who, by the way, was the first to get and make fun of a white family that adopted a black child. Yeah, right?
Schultz back
that then. Was open for... And again, before anyone out there calls me and Judah Lariam hypocrites, we're not saying that they shouldn't do it or that they don't have the right to do it or that they should be boycotted. We don't give a fuck. Say what you want. But why the hypocrisy
right.
of saying that other people show their hate and intolerance and yet we do it and it's just a mistake. Blow it off because we know we're good. How do we know that you're good? How do we know that you didn't mean it? Of course you meant it.
It's amazing. It's amazing how many people, I mean, literally have like had to lose jobs over there
yeah.
or be fired. Like, you realize that? I'm not just kidding. I mean, I don't always watch it, but from when I watch Fox, they haven't had to get rid of anybody.
No.
In like 20-something years, however long they've been
Yeah, for the most
air.
Part, yeah.
I mean, who's been fired over something controversial?
Hell, first of all, Fox doesn't fire people, period. I think it's not in their DNA as a corporation.
But they don't have anybody who said anything
right,
too out of line.
Right.
I mean, like a week or two ago, Huckabee said something at some...
About the libido of women or something. Yeah,
something like that. But like, if that's the worst thing...
Yeah, that's more stupid than anything else.
People like Brashear and these... please.
Yeah.
Schultz, that idiot.
But Judah Lariam, that's because they've been driven to insanity by the insensitivity of the hateful Republicans and the hateful conservatives.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
How stupid are you, for God's sake?
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
Why did you leave me alone?
You're like a fucking Nazi, for God's sake.
You probably want to invade Poland.
I do. It's horrible. It's horrible. But isn't it hilarious that these people constantly have to backtrack? They constantly have someone who says something stupid or tweets something stupid. They show themselves.
See, I wonder if they do it on purpose.
No, they don't. They really don't.
I'm just thinking about because you know, their ratings are terrible.
No.
And maybe it's a way of drawing attention to themselves.
I know you keep saying that. I don't think
it's amazing to me that there could be this many
they're not that smart.
People.
They're just not that smart.
I know that. I know Lawrence O'Donnell goes to WNBA games.
Yeah. We get all that. No, but listen, the reason I don't think it's planned is because if you were going to plan something like that, you would plan something like that and wait to reap the benefits. The problem with these assholes is they say it, they realize they sound hypocritical, and they fire someone or censor them like within a day. Like they don't even give it a chance to fester. So they're not looking, you know, it's not like the Duck Dynasty guy, you know, where that went on for a while. But you know what it is? Will Rachel Maddow get on and say how intolerant MSNBC is? Remember? Like, she was very open about what happened to, or Chris Hayes, or one of these assholes, you know, when the Duck Dynasty guy said that he thinks homosexuality is a sin. That was around-the-clock coverage for, what, a week?
Yeah. Well, they tried to exploit that and the bridge thing with Christie, like crazy.
Yeah. You know, Benghazi will keep our mouths shut because Obama's a good guy and we know what he really means despite what actually happens.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to know, why isn't Obama responsible for a culture of lies at the White House? Why?
Yeah.
What's the exception there? Like, I'm willing to say Chris Christie may have created an environment where people felt they had to bully others. Fair enough. But why do we give Obama a pass? Why do we give MSNBC a pass? Liberals, can you answer that for me?
That's
hypocrisy.
But the only reason I put that out there is because I just can't believe that this many people. You got a look. That's a pretty good gig. You got a TV show.
Yeah.
Even if your ratings are off, you got a TV show.
Right.
There are so many people, and they're self-destructive.
Right.
They destroy themselves. They blurt out something stupid. And, of course, you realize when people say things like this is really what they're thinking.
Of course.
You know, you can apologize for it.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I just don't get it. That's the only reason I put out there that maybe it's a way of garnering some attention.
You know.
How can you have so many stupid people?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I always maintain that on average, liberals are more bigoted than conservatives or libertarians. They really are. And but it's not the classic one. You know what I mean? It's
libertarians aren't bigoted at all.
Exactly. That's what I'm. You know,
I'm one of them. So.
Yeah, yeah. My point being is this: that Democrats, they're not going to be bigoted in the sense that, oh, I hate white people or I hate black people. It comes in a more subtle way, which is like, oh, we're the only ones that can help women. Women need to be protected. You know what I mean? Right. Or all Republicans are racists. Like, they won't base their own bigotry on things like skin color. But their bigotry is based on just about everything else. Right. And their paternalism, whether they would like it or not, is a form of bigotry. It really is. When you're a paternalistic liberal, you're taking the position that only you know what's best for someone else. That they are incapable of making their own decisions.
But that's not bigoted. That's just condescending.
But that's a form of bigotry.
It's presumptuous. Well,
a bigot is somebody who makes assumptions based on preconceived notions. That's the definition of a bigot.
Right.
Now, most people apply it to race. For example, rednecks that think that blacks like watermelon and chicken, or that they, you know, whatever racist thing you could come up with. Right? And that is a form of bigotry. But it's just as bigoted to have the preconceived notion, for example, that women must have government help if they have any hope at all of earning as much as a man.
Right.
That's a form of bigotry.
Mm.
It's a preconceived notion that affects the way you act in life. That's bigotry. And that's why liberals don't recognize it in themselves, because after all, Judolarium,
they mean well. They're trying to do the right thing.
Exactly. They mean well. Go fuck yourselves. Meaning well and doing well are two different things. One does not excuse the other. You can't fuck up the country and say, well, I meant well.
You cannot fuck saying America.
That's right.
Oh, my God. He brought me up again.
That's right.
You're just unrelenting blitzkrieg of ignorance.
The dean of comedy.
Dean of comedy doesn't like the blitzkrieg.
The dean of brown.
The dean of Muslims. Dean of Muslims.
Fuck
That's going to be my name on Twitter.
What's that?
The dean of Muslims.
Yeah. Yeah. King of all Muslims. King of Islam.
Head jihadi. Since I speak the language,
Ali Al Assad, Larry Al Assad,
Johnny Muhammad.
There you go.
Da-na-na, da-na-na. It's amazing. John goes with anything.
Yeah,
it's just great. Like Johnny Taliban.
Yeah, it does.
Johnny Muhammad.
Yeah, Johnny suck my balls.
Johnny taint cream. Like it just doesn't.
Johnny finger in the ass.
Johnny Fugelsang.
Hey man, don't Fugelsang that joke on me.
Don't Fugelsang Justin Bieber. How dare you?
He's awesome, for God's sake.
He's a national treasure. He's not from America. He's a national treasure anyway.
He's an international treasure. You fuck.
See that picture of him when they took like his
every time I look at him, the only word that pops into my head whenever I see him, in all honesty, in big neon lights inside my head, every time I see Justin
Allegedly.
Bieber. The big neon lights in my head are there. Not allegedly. They're there. Every time I see his face, all I see is douchebag flashing in my head.
Pussy.
What?
You mean he's not the pride of Ontario?
Also, I don't know if you saw the little news break about our second inductee into the Riotous Hall of Fame.
Oh, Rob Ford?
Toronto Mayor Rob Ford.
Yes.
Who is now being accused, and I think unjustly, of arranging to have his ex-brother-in-law beaten up.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to talk about the thing that he was in a restaurant a few weeks ago, and he was trying to sing in a Jamaican accent.
Oh, that was awesome. How can you not like second Riotous Hall of Fame inductee Toronto Mayor Rob Ford?
I've been up there many times.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, if they don't reelect him, I'm boycotting Canada.
Yes, boycott fucking Canada. It doesn't take much to tip me and Judah Lariem over the edge on that one, but if you guys don't reelect Toronto Mayor Rob Ford, we're never setting foot in Toronto again.
That's right.
Us and our 80 dollars are never going back there again.
I'm not stepping foot in your country.
Period.
The whole country's banned.
Fuck Canada.
That's it.
Unless Toronto Mayor Rob Ford gets reelected.
Then you're okay.
I love him because he has the balls to run again. just the unmitigated gall to say, I smoke crack. I'm an alcoholic. I have contract beatings allegedly on my ex-brother.
One woman came up to me and said, I said that I was going to eat her pussy. And I said, that's not necessary. I have enough at home.
There you go. How can you not elect someone like that?
Oh, that's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
There you go. Him and Rusty the Wonder Dog, or whatever that dog's fucking name
was. Yeah, that crazy dog that sniffs
ass sniffing drug dog.
That smells drugs everywhere, especially where they're not. What a genius dog.
I just get this image of this dog just pointing at somebody's ass constantly, and the cops are going, here's another one who shoves heroin up his ass.
We're going to have to start charging for these colonoscopies. Oh, my God.
Yeah, at some point, wouldn't you just test the dog at some point?
At some point, you'd have to say, this dog doesn't smell drugs. He smells ass.
Yeah, this dog doesn't look out for drugs. He just likes the smell of ass.
You know how dogs smell each other's asses?
Yeah.
He does it to everything.
Maybe he's just a gay dog.
Maybe he likes the smell of shit.
Yeah. Maybe belongs at the Chelsea bathhouses. I don't know.
Well, if that's true, then he could be out of the Hall of Fame.
Actually, that would probably make him the king of the Hall of Fame. Like, how great would that be? Have a pet dog that loves to sniff other people's ass like nonstop.
That's all he does. Excuse me. How are you doing today? So I'm fine. Are you taking drugs? No. Well, my dog says you are.
My dog says you've been shitting out heroin from the way he keeps licking your asshole.
Sir, do you have bags of cocaine hiding in your asshole? Along with a gerbil and a matchbox?
The fuck was his name? Our number one inductee into the Rioters Hall of Fame.
I forgot. Yeah. It's some dog.
It's like some dog in New
it's
Mexico.
It's like Russ the Wonder Dog. Or
yeah, from New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't believe they gave those guys colonoscopy.
Yeah.
How could you violate people's rights like that?
Because a fucking dog keeps licking people's assholes for no reason.
All based on the dog barking. Oh, you've got drugs, right?
You know, man, if that dog tries to sniff my ass, I shit right on his nose, man.
I hope you're doing your little sniffing soliloquy, doggy. That fuck you shit.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I'm like now starting to see double. I've been laughing too hard.
You've been watching too much porn.
That too. One cock, two cock, four cock. What's going on here?
You're like a terrorist.
I am.
As soon as they get out of that crazy part of the world, it's pizza and prostitutes. Yeah. The moment they get
strip
out.
Clubs, porn, fucking everything you could think
Pores,
of. Yeah.
Good food.
Yes, my friend.
Yes, that radio show has told the truth.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
We must now cut your heads off.
Twice.
With love. Nothing personal. Too much couscous.
Oh, all right. All right, Judah Larium.
Seattle.
Seattle, Seahawks, L.O.B.
L.O.B.?
L.O.B. Legion of Boom. Boom.
But let me tell you, if they win Sunday, he's going to be out of control.
I hope so. I told you, I love Richard Sherman. I think he's fantastic.
I think he's extremely educated.
Yeah. What most white people fail to realize is that he's actually a Stanford graduate and graduated his high school salutatorian.
Thug.
Judah Larium, I will not tolerate such insensitivity and bigotry on my show.
Filthy thug.
Much better. All right, let's wrap it up. Judah Larium, we are now exiting the Riot Show. So for all our listeners out there, join us on twitter.com/thatriotshow. Go to facebook.com/thatriotshow. Check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, player.fm, and hopefully in the near future, a broadcast station near you. We'll tell you more if the deal actually comes through. But until then, this is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larium.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Larium. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. And I just love Sunday morning plumpkins.